Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late. Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late. Time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Kuro's praising, now you know.
We're the hottest show in this place.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said one, two, three.
Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida, it's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and I'm joined in the studios here by Ciro Dobrik.
Hello, everyone. What's going on? Thanks for joining.
That's right, and welcome to the show. I am back from my little tornado tour. Thank God it was nice. The first 2 days I was in Little Rock, it rained.
The Toto tour.
Yeah, and no tornadoes. But back in the studio, it's good. I don't know, man. It wasn't like I went across the ocean or anything, or I'm dealing with like, what do they call that?
You don't got Zika?
No, I don't got Zika.
Is it day bay flavor or fever?
No, what do they call that? Like when you're
jet lag.
Jet lag, yeah. No, I'm not jet lag.
Country lagged.
I'm like normalcy lagged.
Well, you know, when it's a weird schedule like that for a comedian. I mean, I don't know if you know this, but we're not normal people.
Yeah.
So we don't take that sleeping and waking up and discipline.
Discipline?
Discipline. We don't take discipline very seriously.
Cool. I'm saying it's fun at first, you know, but when you're away for 2 weeks, it kind of really puts your test. And then you come back, and there's the thing. Like today I woke up, beautiful sunshine coming through the sunroof, you know, the windows above, you know, I don't know what you call them, California windows in our bedroom.
Right.
I'm obviously in my bed, my pillow, my wife, you know, all those things are working out great. But I woke up today like this is the worst.
It's almost like you need a crane to get out.
It's almost like my mind didn't believe that I was home. It was like, okay, I know you're still sleeping. You know what I mean? But it was just one of those days, and thank God I can work from home.
Could have been just a shock from no windows to awesome windows.
Yeah, to have day and night. You know, in the condo in Wichita, again, the best part, here's the best part about it, and some people, the facilities inside, you got a nice TV, although it didn't have any of the sports cable channels, which I got to tell you this, man, I love my U-verse. Yeah. I got it on my tablet, you know, where if I could be anywhere in any shitty town, as long as I got internet, I can go to my tablet and watch whatever I'd want to watch on my own TV.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
Really, really cool.
You're not sitting there trying to go,
Well, the thing is, you know, you don't get caught up in having to watch somebody else what they want you to watch.
Right.
You can watch whatever you want,
yeah,
what
because,
you like.
Yeah, unless you're the headliner, you turn on the TV, it's yours. But usually the headliner has a TV in their room. Like, you know, the headliner's room had a TV in it.
Nice.
You know, in the bedroom, in their own bathroom. I shared a bathroom with...
Did they get one of those round heart beds, or is it like a spin bed?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, and Wayne Newton's playing in the background. By the way, he's coming to Coconut Creek, Seminole Casino. Wayne Newton, him and his multiple facelifts. The guy's like 108.
Please wear the USA gi.
Yeah.
Please wear the USA gi. That was my favorite Wayne Newton.
The three oddest outfits, let's just say the three... Obviously, Elvis Presley,
yes,
with the high collars and the rhinestones and the studs and the bling.
Wayne.
And, you know, and there's that 1-2 punches he used to throw in the front kick. He used to do the 1-2 punch and a front kick. Right? One-two fucking punch and a front kick.
Boom.
It only took David Lee Roth to come back with a flying axe kick.
Which was awesome, because that's when you have to jump.
Right. Exactly. That's when it's a pro. And then he had the sword and he was doing the, you know. Which
there
was.
There can only be one highlight.
Yeah. So
who's the third one? We got top three.
All right, Newton, so you got Elvis, of course. And then, like you mentioned, you know, Wayne Newton. Mm. You know, I mean, And of course Neil Diamond.
I was
going
to say right when you said rhinestones, I went,
right?
You know what I mean?
Neil Diamond was like, you know, somebody's uncle that was like really into his karaoke. I'm not talking about his music ability. I'm talking about, you know, his stage presence.
He invited all the kids over to watch karaoke.
I think he borrowed Jack LaLanne's old workout outfits and put stuff on them.
Can you
sequence?
Could you even fathom being in that much good shape? Jack LaLanne shape.
I know. You remember that guy?
Oh my God!
Watch me pick up 16 bowling balls.
Okay.
Jack LaLanne, and his old lady stayed good too. You know, imagine.
Well, you were saying it before we started. Good diet.
Could you imagine being Jack LaLanne's wife? Honey, I want to have another scoop of ice cream. Get up, bitch, and do 5 push-ups.
5 push-ups and run around the room.
It's not easy being married to Jack LaLanne.
The LaLanne Diaries.
Yeah. Anyway, we're on Facebook Live on Mondays and Tuesdays here in the studio. Jen Hellman's usually joining us, but don't forget, if you're in the Palm Beach area tonight, there's a comedy show at Scores. Our buddy Nadeem Awad doing a spot. Eric Myers is the headliner.
Eric Myers in from
LA. That's
going
to be a phenomenal show. And by the way, Eric's going to be headlining Tavolino's. We're excited on June 21st.
There it is.
So mark your calendars for that.
Don't miss it.
That's right. And welcome everybody on Facebook Live. All right. What? So I'm talking about the Dutch. Here's the thing. Now, the good part about this thing was it was connected to the club.
Like,
so
you didn't even have to go outside, just club.
Yeah, you don't. Right. If it's raining, there could be tornadoes. You're not leaving this big fortress brick building, right? Like, so once, and again, it was designed like a place to live. You know, nice facilities. You know, and I love when I take a shower and I don't have to spend all day trying to, you know, put water in my hair. You know what I mean? Like, it comes like some shitty shower heads. It comes out like rainwater.
Right.
Right. And you're sitting. Well, I don't know. Maybe not as much for you there, sir. But no. You know, but for me, it's fleeting every day. My hair is falling. I'm getting this Widowmakers. But
I have no idea.
Yeah. But these shower, you know, the shower is like, you know, wow. You know, you can actually relax and take a nice shower. That's one of my pet peeves.
The actual massage effect works.
Right. You know, not sitting there. It's like there's a leak under a gutter. You're just trying to get your, you know, and you know, nice kitchen, all that. Man, everything's there, so it's great. And you know, like I always say, like I love casino gigs for the obvious one, where you're at a casino and you can go play poker. You know, do whatever you want
release
on your off
that,
time.
That extra energy you built up.
When you're doing a casino gig, it's not like you're sitting there going, "What am I going to do tomorrow morning? You know, what am I going to do tomorrow afternoon?
You know, I can't wait to go to Perkins." No,
yeah.
That's not what you're saying.
I'm going to go to the Museum of Modern Artistries. No, so, you know, so, but it's right there. So that's great, because then you casino, you go into the lobby or you go wherever and you go to the show. You really don't have to leave the building.
I mean, if you're a good con job, you can get a poker game started anywhere. You don't really have to go to Vegas for that.
Well, you know, that's what I'm saying. Casinos all over the country. And not to mention, so it's really nice when the gig is very, if not right at the venue or when you stay. And this is what makes this pretty cool. So, you know, like I can wear my suede shoes. I didn't have to worry about, you know, having an umbrella or the proper, you know, outerwear.
Right.
Like, especially if you're going to go to Wichita in December, you know, you're not going to go there with flip flops and some Bermuda shorts.
To change your pace from South Florida.
Hell yeah.
I'd do it, but just because I'm crazy and stupid.
By the way, hello, Michael Blair, a regular Facebook listener. Michael, by the way, comment if you listen to us on our podcast as well. We appreciate that. Marjorie Provincial Glaze, Glass is listening. And, of course, Karen Hickox, who says, hey. LOL. One is, and the R, and the R, I don't know, I can't read it. But thanks for your participation. But, you know, it's good to walk right out, and then you walk it down a hallway. I gave everybody on my Facebook page a little tour. You know, from the inside of the room where I was just, you know, our table was and the living room was, and down the hallway into the club.
Right,
you
walk
through the club, and boom, there you are, right in the middle, and you walk to the showroom. You know, it's not like you have to worry about leaving early to get to the club. It's
very Frank Sinatra.
Right. It's very cool. So, but one, the only thing was you're in a room when you wake up with no windows. You know what I mean?
That was my high school bedroom.
Yeah?
Why aren't you getting up? Because it's nighttime. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Deep space.
So, you know, the whole idea, it's like getting back on track. I actually had two, you know, like I love when I go to the dentist every 6 to 8 months when I get my teeth cleaned, and they have like those little toothpaste, like, and they're perfect for like a week.
So, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And less than travel size, perfect size.
Exactly. Well, you know, that's the thing. I brought two and thought I'm going to be good. You know what I mean? And here's a word to comics. And this, those of you who don't know, as a touring comic, you ever stay at a comedy condo, you never really take any. If there's stuff left in the fridge, I wouldn't suggest
leaving it,
eating it or using it. You know, like,
when you show up and stuff's in the fridge.
Yeah. Like,
yeah,
you know,
I wouldn't do that.
You go to the store. Whenever I get somewhere, I go to the store. I get some cold cuts. I get some oven roasted turkey.
Some mortadella.
Some all boar's head, of course. Some ham.
Sopressata.
You know, some provolone cheese.
Gabagoo.
Yeah, what am I? When I'm headlining, I'll get prosciutto. I love prosciutto.
It's the best.
You know what I mean? I'll stop whatever I'm doing if somebody laid out some prosciutto. Fucking prosciutto. Oh, it's like the heaven. If you've never had prosciutto, first of all, shoot yourself. But if you, aside from most nobody wanted to, just go to a local, a really well known Italian restaurant in your neighborhood, and go get an antipasto with some prosciutto.
A really good thing though that was at Tavolino's. It was that brie encrusted prosciutto. Oh
yeah.
Okay.
Oh my God.
But don't eat it right away because it's hot.
My wife can trust me with the Swedish bikini team in my house, and I'll be faithful, but if you leave a pound of prosciutto in the fridge, it's gone. It ain't going to last. So, just trying to get back in the rhythm of it. But anyway, thanks everybody to Looney Bin. Had a good time. Met a lot of great people over there. And by the way, while we're on it this week, I'm going to be in Claremont. So all of our listeners, anybody in Claremont, Florida, that's over by Orlando. I'm going to be at the Claremont Performing Arts Center this Friday night. So get your tickets. So I don't know, dude. Just trying to get used to this, getting back on track. You know?
Yeah, getting back on the hobby horse.
Got to get back. I walked all over. I walked around the whole.
You didn't miss much.
No, same thing going on here.
No, I mean there was. I mean adventure.
Were you at the show at the Buddha on Saturday night?
Saturday, no.
No.
No. What happened there?
No, I'm just wondering. Things that happened here. You know. This is Monday night. Let's just talk local comedy scene for a little bit.
Right.
I haven't been doing anything. So I went. To some open mics. There's a new open mic in Boynton Beach. We're thinking about going. I'm thinking about going tonight. But I told everybody on the show, I don't know if you heard it, but last week when I was in Little Rock on Wednesday night, the show was canceled at the Looney Bin.
What happened?
Not enough people on a Wednesday night, but in all honesty, it was raining. It was fucking miserable.
Right.
So me, Vince Morris, and Moret Lemons, the other act, everybody on the card, were like, let's do something. I wanted to, I waited all, I got there Tuesday.
Oh, so you've been in town for a day.
Yeah, I've been a day, and I wanted to do something. And getting cabin fever. That place had windows. They had windows.
Wichita.
Nice house, washer and dryer, big room. I actually chose the shittiest room out of all. Like, I didn't realize the headliner room was there was a room downstairs.
Right.
It's a big room, own bathroom and everything. And there was two bedrooms upstairs. It's actually three, but two that you can
use.
Yeah, and I had, I thought the one with the TV, the picture tube TV, was for the headliner. And I just took that room next to it, which had a window, and a dresser, and outlets, and a hanger, a closet. And I had to share a bathroom kind of thing. But I realized I took the fucking worst room in the house. So, I stayed in the living room. It didn't matter. I had a really nice living room with a big TV with all the channels, by the way, that you want to use.
It's Mr. Congeniality to you.
That's right. So, but we went to this place called the Preserved Moose. And it was the fucking best open mic I've been to in the longest time.
Wow.
It was actually, we pulled up at a residence.
Someone's house?
Yeah, someone's house in a building in the back, your freestanding building. And fucking had it pad. People pass around bowls. And you had a bar where they didn't take money, but you could make donations. You didn't charge for the drinks. You know what
Super
I mean?
Super cool.
Perfect. That's a perfect storm for an open mic. Good sound system.
You
know,
you can build a real good cult following that way.
Yeah. So Mark Viola, comic out of Orlando, was actually on one. I guess he headlined it there the month before. So if you're ever in Little Rock, Arkansas, ask about the Preserved Moose.
But don't ask too many questions in Little Rock.
Yeah, you may be shunned. Just saying.
Just about comedy. Keep it comedy.
So, I don't know. Local scene. I had to do bookings today. I had to get on. I looked at my calendar. I had a book. I started, and I don't know, man. I'm kind of losing my interest.
Uh-oh, on the booking side?
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I'm at the point now where it's like, you know what? I don't know if this is something I want to...
Career path change. Now you got to start focusing on your books.
Right. I'm more concerned about booking me. You know, I'm my number one client right now. You know, I'm my number one, you know, I'm my agent.
You have to tell yourself every morning, show me the money,
Dougie. That's right. That's, you know, here's my agent's name. My agent's name is Almeida. That's my agent's name. This is Almeida. Almeida, I represent Dougie Almeida.
I mean, it gets weird when you have to do the quitting scene, because, like, who's coming with you? Like, you live here. It's like...
Right. You know what
it's
I mean?
The only time.
Maybe I'll have like, a new personality. Agent Almeida. I represent Dougie. That's what I do, and I do it well. Anybody have questions, contact me at...
Sounds like a mafia group.
Is it? I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What do you think of those guys? They're all maidas.
Yeah, they're all maidas.
They're all maids.
They all made.
They all made. They prick the fingers.
And you know, we're talking about guest spots and things like that. So I got to worry about that. Usually, when you do a show, we got to book a headliner and we got to find a feature. But I've been booking features more because there's a lot of people want to get back in, and things like that. And you know what I mean? I feel like it's just one big headache. I don't know. Anyways, nobody gives a shit about that.
First of all, you have to go through your head with all their sets that you're like, not that one. Okay.
Well, you know.
Now you're tossing up between three and then.
Well, I mean, to me, it is like when you think of somebody, then you got to reach them and contact them and, you know. And that's a lot of time I book. You know, a lot of time people reach out to me. But, you know, and here's an idea, like the co-headline spot. So let's talk about this. So we talk about comedy, the co-headline spot. Now, here's how I look at the co-headline spot. First, as a comic, okay? Right now, as somebody who predominantly features and headlines once in a while, one-nighters or rooms and things like that, co-headline to me is great. Number one, I'm doing more time than just featuring usually. And number two, I think I'm getting paid more.
You should be.
I should be getting paid more than a feature spot, so I'm excited about it. But you know, if somebody regularly headlines and then you say, hey, I'd like to do a show, you know, because so as a comic, I love the I don't mind the co-headline. You know, again, I'm in a feature mostly in the headline. Co-headline's in between.
It's a bump either way.
It's in between my norm, so of course I'll do it. And let make the record straight. If somebody says, hey, I got a good show, a venue, and I'd like you to host it, let's do it. I'll host. You know, I'll have fun. You know what I mean? As long as I'm not driving 15 hours, you know, like, you know, to Mississippi somewhere.
M-I-S-S-I-S.
Yeah, you know how to spell it? M-I-S-S-I-S-S-P-P. I don't know. Thank God for spell check. So,
you lose it.
So, you know, the idea co-headline to me, that now as a producer of a show, I like it because to me, it's almost like, I want to start, here's the thing that'll be fun. I want to start booking showcases too. You know, not just the traditional opener, middle, headliner.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you know.
Five comics.
Three comics. Really three comics. That's the thing. You know, you can get away paying them a basic headliner spot, you know, and get three really good comics to do 25 minutes each. Right?
Right, right.
So that's the world of comedy. This is Dougie Almeida, and I got nothing better to say because I've been flopping around like a hobo. That's what I feel. You know what I mean? Like you go, like it was. You know, travel is always interesting. We got a story today and what you need to know. You know, there's travel stories all the time now, and you know, it's funny because, and by the way, shout out to Southwest Airlines who I'm basically just going to start discussing sponsorship. You know, they may sponsor not only the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, but Wake Up Dougie Almeida himself. That's
really awesome.
Yeah, you know what I mean. So as I go places, I'm a spokesperson for them and try to get on the Twitter and whatever. So
big
it'll be interesting.
Things on the horizon.
Yeah. But I love Southwest Airlines. And you know, again, I love it when I do the early bird check-in. I'm probably screwing myself because if I say early bird check-in, people can start using Southwest Airlines and start doing it. Next thing you know, they're going, oh, it's become so popular, they're going to charge $25.
Damn. call it the Dougie fee.
But you get a free, you know, you get free two bags to check. But I got to, I got to tell you, I never check a bag, and I checked a bag this trip because I had to bring 2 weeks of merch. I had to bring all my shirts. I hate waiting for a bag. Just to complete, you know. If you're having a bad day and you're worried about your life, go to the airport and go into the baggage claim area and
watch people
and just watch people as they just like. I had
they contemplate things.
Listen, here's something different. I get my flight out of Wichita, little airport. There's one terminal. I get there and I tell people I got TSA pre-check, which is if you travel, you gotta get that, and that just eliminates a big part of the pain in the ass, which is known as going to the airport.
Do you get a radiation suit, or is it just?
No, man. You basically leave everything in your bags, leave your shoes on, go through a real short line. Oh. You know what I mean? You have to take that's taking your shoes off. I got to worry about what shoes I'm going to wear now when I go on the airplane.
That's really.
You know, then you wear those flip flops that you never wear, and then they stink like holy hell. And then you take them off, you know, because you got to put them on the belt, and people are like, oh, put them back on. So you know, dealing with this travel, you know. But if you're going to go, do the early bird, get on the plane. You basically get choice of the first half of the plane, anything you want. You know what I mean? It's cheap. Fly there. I drove 6 hours from Arkansas through Oklahoma to Kansas.
Wow.
Yeah. A lot of windmills out there. Pretty exciting. Those big, dude, you drive right by these windmills. Those huge propellers. It's pretty, you know, it's pretty cool.
Inspiring.
And they're just...
It would be awesome. I mean, windmill power country.
Yeah. I'm just trying to say I'm a big bag of wind. This is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm here at Ciro Dobrik.
Hey.
And we'll be back with what you need to know right after this.
Hey, this is Lenny Travis from the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Listen every morning or Donald Trump will deport you. You homo.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Little Bad Company. Get it on iTunes. That's where I got it. I think I played a little too long of it. Hopefully I don't get SEC'd or whatever.
I hope not.
I went past the term. Got a little lazy on the volume button. But with that break in the action, one of the best parts of this whole song is coming up. Don't take it personally, Ciro. It's just a song I wanted to hear.
Nope.
I don't got any funky lies or anything like
we're
that, dude. We're just
living
being men.
A life.
Just being men here in the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Welcome back to the show. Ciro Dobrik's joining me today.
No such thing as bad company.
That's right. Jen Hellman is out at Scores getting ready for the big Eric Meyer show tonight. So if you're in Pompano, if you're in West Palm Beach, go to Scores tonight. Eric Meyer's the headliner. Our buddy Nadeem Awad's on the show. I don't know how much it costs, but... The strip clubs close. It basically doesn't close. It just the girls all go and hang out and watch, and they're in the audience.
Strip club pauses.
Yeah, they hang out with the guys that are in the like maybe they're John. Let's call them Johns. Maybe I don't know. Maybe that's not important. But yeah,
summer mats.
Exactly. It's just an expression. They could be bills, and they could be and they hopefully have bills
most
in their pocket.
Most of them though,
yeah,
are probably Richards.
Yeah, a lot of Richards. Anyway, so then they hang out and they had the GFE experience. I guess that's redundant. They have the GFE deal with the girls, and they hang out like they're at a club, and then other people come to watch the show. Great show. Eric Meyer is your headliner. By the way, don't forget, this week's Wise Guys comedy show. Listen, it's going to be a lot of fun. John McClane is the headliner. He came and agreed to feature. He's one of these guys that came to, okay, I'll feature for you, and he came and did great. So we gave him a date to come back and headline.
Sweet.
And Chris Rowe, otherwise known as Chris Topher, is your feature act. I guess we got to help him get up on the stage with his wheelchair.
Yeah, luckily it's not a tall stage.
Yeah, it's not a big stage. We'll bring him up. Very funny cat, and I'll be your host.
Oh yeah.
Looking forward. Yeah, it's always good to go back to Tavolino's after you've been gone for 2 weeks. I heard we only had. I was really disappointed. We only had 4 people last week at the show, and that can't continue to happen. I can assure you. And so, if you like live comedy, great food and drinks, and a great atmosphere, come to Wise Guys Comedy Show. The show's $10. Have the greatest Italian food you've had in a long time, and have a full bar. You know, we're not going to try
just
to serve you some shitty
wine, really,
or just beer. You're going to come have a drink. Have a drink. You know what I'm saying? Any rate, so what you need to know?
I need to know.
You know, we talked to everybody. Everybody knows about the, you know, the malware or the ransomware.
Ransom.
I didn't get hit. Did you get hit?
No. I don't think anyone I've heard of.
Nobody. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if it's because I still have Windows 7. Because for my work, I need Windows 7. I couldn't go to XP and 10 and all that shit.
It could be that.
Now, I don't want to screw myself. There might be some hacker out there going, he's got Windows X7.
Get him.
Hit him. Hit that fat bastard.
Get him.
I hate him.
Are you telling me there's a fire sale going on?
So, you know, a lot of people, and here's the funny part. They only got about $50,000 in Bitcoin. You know, people,
right, that was
like,
it?
Like if somebody hit mine and said, we have all your stuff's encrypted. You know, I have something on my computer since I use it for my industry business. That if somebody stole it and tried to open it up without the password, everything just melts, basically encrypts and screws up. And
you do your own encrypting before they can even get to it. So.
Right. So if somebody did that to me, shut it up. I got to go buy a new laptop. I'm going to pay $10,000 ransom when I go get a new laptop for a grand.
I would think any important information somewhere would be definitely encrypted, say FBI information,
right,
those things. And, you know, who knows? I just think it's convenient that the world was hacked 2 days or 8 days or 4 days later after Comey was fired. It's all the Russian data. And I don't even know who did this, but it could have been Russia.
Well, Putin came out and said that it's America's fault that this stuff's been given away, as he basically sheltered Snowden, who's released those secrets.
Pretty much.
Know, it's their fault that they let us steal it.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, the whole idea of this internet thing. You know, I remember being a kid, and I don't want to be religious or anything, but we had like these, the Watchtower or whatever, all these different things, and people come by and you read different stuff. And I was always into religion. I read the Bible. I was really intrigued with like Ezekiel and Revelation. You know, there's certain aspects of the Bible I read more than once because it was very, you know, I found interest in it. And, you know, it talks about, you know, the trumpets blaring and the fire and all this stuff. Anyway, I don't want to be dismal or anything, but one of the things they said was the mark of the beast, which was the computer and everything, which some people say, well, the devil's the internet. Well, I'm just saying that it's the beginning. It's the path. It's the portal. It's the thing that opens up the spirit to the evilness.
It opens it up. That's the bottom line.
Right?
It opens up.
Just saying. Listen, who am I?
Listen,
you know, to tell you, but it's a way to look at it.
If you are religious and you do read the Bible and you know what instrument God uses when he's about to show himself.
Right.
It's a trumpet.
It's going to be a trumpet or a fugal horn.
A fugal horn?
maybe he's like a Chuck Mangione fan.
Beetle Bailey. Actually, does this presidency not remind you of Beetle Bailey more than Doonesbury?
Kind
of.
Yeah.
We flipped the script on that.
With that in mind, by the way, enough with the Russian thing. It's funny. You know, to me, I don't care where we're at this point. There's no proof of anything. And I was listening to Spicer get questioned today. One lady says, well, what about an independent? Well, you got the FBI, you got the Justice Department, you got blah, 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 blah. You got this, that you want to get an independent. You know, at this point, what do you want to do? You want to get Eskimos in Alaska to fucking look over the evidence? Let's put this to bed and get to work, people. And you know what? You know, the quicker we get to work, the quicker the 4 years goes over. And how it all ends up, we all look at ourselves after the game and go, okay, who's going to be traded this year and who's going to be the fucking captain next?
Actually, what we should do, and this will solve it all, we have that SETI still, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Send all the information you have on this Russian hack to the aliens out there.
Just throw it out there in a big beam.
And then 150 million years from now, we'll talk about it.
Right.
Shut up.
Yeah, then we'll get an answer. We'll get some little fat guy all blubbery and shit coming out of his nose going, there's nothing. You guys, don't call us again, you fucking idiots.
This is what you contacted us with?
You could have asked us all the questions in the world. or the universe, how things work. I don't know why my fucking cosmic guy sounds like he's Pakistani.
He's definitely something.
Yeah. I would have to come up with a different alien voice. Yeah. Any rate, hey, speaking of technology, it's official. We all know the MP3 player.
Okay.
Which, yeah, with your iPod, the mini, you know, basically that, to me, was amazing. Because before the iPod, before the MP3, we basically had what? The
CD.
The CD player, the Discman.
The Discman, the Walkman.
Which preceded, which pro, which was post-seeded the Walkman with a cassette player. And then, which before that, we had the boombox.
Right.
You had to walk around with a boombox.
Which is still in style, please.
Yeah,
do
you
it.
Could still. Yeah, I had a please. Nice one. I remember I had a fucking pretty badass one with the big speakers and shit. And it was actually, it was really high quality. Like, it wasn't as big, but like my uncle right. got it, who was like into that shit. And it was.
And there was a special name of those brands yeah. that had the boomboxes. It wasn't just a Sony.
Right. This is a Rivera, whatever. So the MP3 player, this is where you can walk around with this little thing and hear hundreds, if not thousands of songs, I imagine. But the MP3 is dead, says the creator, after terminating his licensing for it. Fuck it. Anybody want to copy it? Go ahead.
Wow. I just transferred everything to MP3, too. So that's...
Well, you know, I still keep my iPod because sometimes if there's no internet or my phone, you know, I have back, I could just plug the damn thing and listen to at least 300 songs.
Right. You still right? have that.
A lot of Ozzy Osbourne. I got Mr. Crowley.
Yeah.
Mr. Crowley.
So good.
Good sound. The MP3 is dead, according to its creator, who says that the digital audio encoding format has lost relevance in a world of new technology.
Huh.
We're all starting to feel, I told you, even my it's industry, financial planning, it's going to be replaced by computers and shit at this point. You know, smart thinking computers, artificial intelligence.
I was watching Elysium.
Yeah.
That movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like the parole officer being a robot. Shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want the guy in authority to be, you know.
To be a robot that doesn't have feelings or will not listen to you.
Well, you would, you know.
You were charged with this. But what happened was shut up. Oh. Mm. That would happen? I'm breaking into Elysium.
Yeah. You wonder, you know, you wonder if, listen, I happen to think that people, it's easier for humans to be evil than it is to be good.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? I think it. I don't know. I
think it's a nature nurture thing again.
Yeah, I just you know think the mean? Pendulum has been. You know, I don't know. I mean, again, people say that's because everybody's got cameras. We're a day and age where you see a lot of things, but I don't think. You know, I don't think that in the 1930s, a young man would have walked up to an 85-year-old woman, picked her up and slammed her to the deck of a pool floor
with
and throw her and her dogs. You know, I don't think that would have happened in the 1930s.
well, definitely not the actual people that did it.
Right, not them. They would have been.
That would definitely not have happened
unless they had. Unless they drove a DeLorean.
And that's there's also no way. Not what we're talking.
Wouldn't
about.
Wouldn't it be funny if time travel? That's what that's what we do. Like you know what? Like that's what we do. Let's see if we can make things like why wait? Why the slow countdown to the apocalypse? Why don't we just speed it up? Like if we're gonna be time travelers, we got to go back right. to the 1930s and like introduce a lot more women to like.
Change
you know sleeping bit. With other girls like if we can bring in the second girl philosophy earlier in the sexual revolution stage of life
wow.
that you know maybe you know more people
a lot of things would have been
more people die of HPV throat cancer
probably
before they probably. Have a cure we probably can you know we could put a dent in the population just saying
new world order bitch
yeah listen some you know we listen you could say you want all the scary things about the Illuminati and everything but the idea of less people on this earth.
Is not too bad.
Yeah. I don't know if you ever waited for a table at Joe Stone crap. But, you know, that's you know, Illuminati got a point when you're sitting there waiting for an hour and a half. Cause you
I've
want
done
to
that.
The
I just never waited for the bill because that thing's huge. Oh, my God. Did we just spend
I remember one time I got to eat a Joe Stone crab and I slipped the guy a 50. You know what I mean? Just mm-hmm. to fuck, you know.
Feel like it was.
Yeah,
like
you know, I was trying to impress. I was basically trying to impress.
Well, no, that's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah, back to things you should know. Man contracts gut parasite after eating sushi. Now, this scares
perfect.
Me. I love sushi. I don't know. Listen, you don't eat sushi?
I love it. I can't. I was just actually telling a story of every Monday out in L.A.
Right.
Was sushi day.
Really? That was your day for sushi? Mm-hmm. And you don't do it anymore?
Not the same kind of financial situation right now.
Oh, I got you. It's a
out
price
there. Issue. I was rolling in the money. I had three jobs. I'm doing comedy. I'm acting. Mm-hmm. I'm doing everything you got to do. Here, I'm not as motivated.
Hmm. But a 32-year-old man in Portugal went to the hospital after experiencing stomach pain, vomiting, and fever.
Ooh.
Almost as bad as I felt this morning.
I was going to say, did you eat sushi last night?
The culprit, a parasitic worm called Anisakis. In the sushi he had just eaten.
You know, I was really waiting on you to actually have a name for it, like, named Marty.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Sticky shit.
No, Anisakis.
Anisakis, yeah, which in Japanese translates to worm in your ass. The incident highlights an increasing number of infections from parasites found in raw fish that doctors are seeing in Western countries as sushi dishes rise in popularity. I love them.
Huh.
I love like volcano rolls. I like spicy tuna rolls. I love
super flying dragon roll.
Yeah, man. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? The red dragon roll, the green dragon rolls. Those are always delicious.
What is it about avocado shrimp tempura and that eel sauce?
Yeah. I know. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you think about it. It's like happiness.
There's and just place up in, I think it's Pompano. Massamoon.
Yeah. Oh,
get out of here. The Aurora Roll.
The Aurora Roll?
Aurora Roll. They don't say it right, but it's the Aurora Roll.
Aurora. How do you want Aurora Roll? In the reports, doctors in Portugal describe getting to the bottom of the man's stomach pains when he reveals his sushi consumption. Yeah, you got to eat a lot. Plus, mercury's not good for you either. By the way, speaking of parasitic worms, on Mother's Day when I got into town, you know, nothing better than being away for 2 weeks than going out, you know, and then going to a restaurant and then going to a movie. And not, listen, I know this Amy Schumer, there's people that don't like her as comics and this and that. And, you know, I at this point, my opinion really doesn't matter. So as a comic, I've seen her and I thought she's, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That when she did the special, when she supposedly did the, you know, the Superman joke and all that stuff, I'm like, I've heard those jokes before, but I'd like to do those in a comedy album close. Yeah, you know, I was like, all right, well, fuck. And then again, I'm sitting there going, well, she's got a comedy album, and I'm sitting here doing, you know, Wichita and fucking Little Rock. So, you know, you got to respect due. But, you know, I went to see this movie Snatched with her and Goldie Hawn, my wife, my stepdaughter, my brother-in-law, and his wife. Well, we all went to see this movie. And listen, as an official review, it's fucking horrible. Okay,
all right.
You know what I mean? And you know what I mean? And it's not... It's just the hope. You got to see it. You know what I mean? If anybody's seen it, you want to comment on Facebook Live, please. But it was horrible. And God bless Goldie Hawn, because as an actress, she's I think her and the only real professional actress and actor in the whole fucking show. Everybody else was, you know,
newbies.
It's almost like it was a script written by a middle school student. And then putting these people in it. It was horrible. I know I upset my wife. It was Mother's Day. It was so horrible that, you know, usually on Mother's Day, you're with your wife and that everybody's going, you're going to eat, you know. But I wasn't in the most cheeriest of spirits after being coming home from 2 weeks, being in Little Rock and Wichita. So I basically, you know, when she asked, like, what'd you think? You know, did you like that? I go, it's fucking horrible. I could have said, oh, it was all right. You know, but it was just horrible. And I know that was stupid because then she looked at me like, this is my day. You know what I mean? I kind of felt.
Really? It has to be about you.
Yeah. Why does it have to be about you? It's Mother's Day. Oh, fuck. What's up, Casey Prusky? Skulls, Mark Calamuse, everybody joining us on Facebook. Jeanette Schock, fellow comedian. I think she's out of L.A. Are you at the West
Coast?
We'd
like you to be honest. It was horrible. Why can't you just be nice?
It was a horrible, the storyline was stupid. The idea is they get snatched by kidnappers and all of us, they're in the trunk at one point and they're both tied up and all of a sudden she goes, oh, I can get out. Really? You're getting fucking drug lords are taking you. You can get out of the hand. Okay. You can barely touch your toes without falling over you fucking. Anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know if you guys saw the story about, this giant mystery, giant creature that washed up on the shores of Indonesia.
Oh man, when did this
happen? You see it? I mean, it looks like King Kong's condom. I mean, you know, I had to throw. I'm just saying it was, you know, it's like, you know, and the minute you look at it, and the first time I looked at it, it looks like some sort of whale carcass.
Okay.
You know, maybe a whale had died and, you know, all the insides are eaten out and the, everything around it, its basic outer shell, if you would, is washed up on shore. Right?
Leftover carcass.
Yeah. So, and everybody wonders, they think it's a big sea creature, like all of a sudden there's things that are missing. Like, oh my God, it's like, you know, what is it? And I mean, you look at it, it's a whale. It's got to be the size of it. It's a whale.
Four fishermen have disappeared. What was that cartoon? It was like, I think it was Tom and Jerry.
Right.
Where they're going fishing.
Right.
And Spike hears, or no, I'm probably messing it all up. But
well, Spike's the dog.
Right, but they hear about like this Captain Snapper fish, and they're going after me. I know you're going to remember when I'm saying it. And then the fish like is so big that when they do catch it, they feel bad because he's got this legendary, you know what I mean?
Right.
That's
a little bummed out.
They're trying to be nostalgic for cartoons in the 80s.
Well, that's nice. But it turns out the big mystery solved. Scientists have identified a giant sea creature that washed up on the beaches of Indonesia last week. The bizarre carcass left people on the island of Seram perplexed. Well, they're not that bright over there anyway.
Oh, Seram?
Yeah, you
know. You didn't mention that.
Yeah, over in Seram. Perplexed as it washed ashore, giving a huge mass of strange shapes. The remains appeared to include tusks and tentacles, leading some online observers to contemplate that it have been a long-lost sea monster.
Octowalrus.
Whereas Dougie said, King Kong's condom. You know, he used a French tickler.
Clever.
Kong was a player. He didn't just get a regular condom.
Did you see the new Skull Island?
No, it looks good. Have you seen the movie?
Yeah.
You liked it?
It's good.
All right.
It's good.
I'll take
I like
word
the
for
new
it.
Story. I like it all. I like it all.
Well, you know, that wasn't playing at the movie theater.
No.
But although I had the opportunity to go to the movies on Saturday. Willie B was the host this week in Wichita, and he went to see Fate and the Furious. And I'm like, I'm not going to go there. And then they had King Arthur. I'm like, okay, that might be a good. And then they had Galaxies, but
the new
Galaxy, you know, the Marvel. And my wife says we can get that on our I don't want to, maybe I'm giving away a secret, but she can get it on her thing. So we're going to see that. And then they had Snatched, that movie Snatched, and we went to see that yesterday.
Which was definitely a bad move.
Yeah, well, you know, listen, everybody hung out. I got to eat some popcorn. You know, you got to find. Closer examination of the animal has revealed that it's probably a baleen whale.
Oh.
Like I thought it was when I first saw it. And I'm not a scientist. I'm really not an ocean. I'm not, you know, I don't spend much time in the ocean to recognize a baleen whale.
I did watch every episode of Jacques Cousteau, though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm going down to the depths of the ocean in my little...
You will find out.
Yes. I'm going down in my little capsule under the water.
I wish I could remember the beat of, like, the suspenseful music they would play right before they go to commercial.
Right. Yeah.
He's going down.
Does he have enough air? His son became big with that, right?
Yes.
That was a big thing, the Adventures of Jacques Cousteau.
It was great.
It was a good TV. You used to watch and you used to learn about the marine biology. And then they had Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, where, you know, there was a sponsor where they take you out in the safari and everything. And
learn what it's like to be a lion cub.
Yeah, exactly. Learn what it's like, you know, get to witness death, like, you know, when the lions or whatever, the cheetahs chase the antelope. And you're like, oh, how can that happen? And the really, when you're a smart kid and you watch Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, and you see one of those straggly-ass antelope get eaten by the pride of whatever's chasing them. You know, you don't look at that and go, oh, my God, the poor lion. Yeah, you do for a minute. But then you say, the real person says, I'm never going to be that fucking thing.
Exactly.
I'm never going to be that one that gets cornered and gets eaten alive.
That's only someone that remembers their past lives.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm going to learn from my experience.
Soul.
Right? I'm going to be Darwinian here. I got eaten several times. I've come back several lives. I'm going to try to.
It's
although
not going to happen this time.
Although I can imagine if a tiger chased you and me, we wouldn't make it.
No.
You know, you think we could team up on the thing? You think
we
between
both
you and
would throw each other to the fucking tiger? There would be.
at the same time, right? Just fucking, let's just bail.
As we're running, I'd say, Ciro, somebody dropped a dollar.
Yeah. Fucking tiger.
This is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I am here with Ciro Dobrik.
Hey.
And this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, where we'll be back with Straight from the Headlines right after this.
You need to know. Need to know.
Hey, this is Dougie Almeida from the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Why don't you come out and see a show? You can catch me April 20th to the 23rd at the Comedy Catch in Chattanooga, Tennessee. On May 3rd through the 6th, I'll be at the Looney Bin in Little Rock, Arkansas. May 10th through the 13th, I'll be at the Looney Bin in Wichita, Kansas. May 19th, I'll be at the Claremont Performing Arts Center in Claremont, Florida. May 31st at the Mississippi Moon Bar at the Diamond Joe Casino in Dubuque, Iowa. And on June 1st to the 3rd, I'll be at Penguins Comedy Club in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. For more dates, go to DougieAlmeida.com. And remember, we want to make you laugh, so come on out and enjoy live comedy anywhere you possibly can. Thanks for listening, guys, and now back to the show.
This is Ciro Dobrik on the Waking Up Late with Dougie Show. Let's get wild and crazy and talk about comedy.
Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
And now for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, and it's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of it.
Work it.
Before, things you need to know, which are things you should know. You know, it was interesting about that. We didn't get through quite a bit. No, we did, actually. Here's a story. Again, talking about airlines and stuff, right?
Not Southwest, which we
no.
enjoy.
And, you know, my second favorite airline is JetBlue. You know, unfortunately, okay. They don't fly everywhere. But, you know, they're online. You can watch live TV.
They were the first ones to do that.
You know what I mean? And, you know, nothing TV. Better. Nothing knocks out a 2 or 3 hour, 4 hour flight better than TV. Being able to watch something. You know, it's the best way to travel. But family gets kicked off a JetBlue flight for a birthday cake.
Hmm.
Now, at first you hear the story, you know, nice black family, two or three kids. I think it was a mom. I don't see if there's a dad. I don't remember the whole look at it story now. But you to bring a birthday cake, and I'm assuming, I don't think it's a little like Carvel ice cream cake. It's probably a big sheet cake, right? Mm-hmm. Probably a big sheet cake. And when you bring something on an airplane, it either has to be stowed in the overhead or it has to go under your seat.
Correct.
You can't hold something in your person. It's a flight risk because if something happens, it can fly. And you know, you probably won't die. You probably couldn't die if the plane experienced severe turbulence and all of a sudden somebody's birthday cake went flying into your face. If that happened to me and I was going through that sort of turmoil, I probably wouldn't have minded it. Knowing I got to at least taste some buttercream before I fucking fall to my death 30,000 feet. Just saying.
First of all, if you look at me, I'm not letting go of that cake.
Yeah, they should have gave it to the fat kid. Look, that boy ain't ever going to let go of that cake. Footage of the family getting kicked off a JetBlue flight over the placement of a birthday cake surfaced on Saturday. Minta and Cameron Burke were heading to Las Vegas from JFK Airport in New York on May 3rd to celebrate Minta's 40th birthday. Which is a big one, with their children, when an incident between the family and the airline caused the entire family to be kicked off the plane, despite the New York Police Department admitting to the family that they did nothing wrong.
Well, you know, first of all, really? You're taking a cake on an airplane?
Well, yeah, it's kind of fucking stupid. I mean, listen, everybody, I'm sure this is going to be an interesting story for me, I think, because, you know, where are people? All right, because here, like, according to the news, the family placed the birthday cake in the overhead bin.
Oh.
Which is not allowed. The family says that a flight attendant told Cameron to move the cake to underneath his seat, like I just said, which he did, but claims the situation escalated when the second flight attendant got involved. I wonder if it's a gay dude, because those guys don't put up with that shit.
You can't bring fucking cake.
You know, you could see the gestures when Then she was pointing to her. Did you tell him couldn't put anything in the overhead? Yeah, I had approached them, and I said everything was fine. And she said, sir, this doesn't involve you. When she told me I had been non-compliant, then I said, ma'am, had you been drinking? Huh?
Oh.
Hmm. Yeah, this is the part. Like, you know.
They can just say whatever. I mean, not saying that she wasn't. I'm just saying they could say whatever.
Hmm. When she told me I had been knocked, blah, 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 because my behavior was not normal. Eventually, police were called to sort everything out. In the clip tweeted by ABC News, Kim, the family is visibly upset, and their son can be seen crying over the ordeal, which what kid wouldn't be when your parents are getting into an argument over cake. No one's in any trouble. An officer could be heard as reassuring the family. Everything's okay. Mommy and daddy ain't going to jail this time. After discussing the incident with the airline staff, the officer then returns to the family to break the bad news. Despite reassuring the family that no one did anything wrong, the airline forced the family to deplane and rebook their flight, probably without bringing that cake.
See, I'd be embarrassed if they got a little small guy to go, deplane to me too, you know?
I don't know how. Listen, you could. Any, here's the thing. When I think of stuff like people are going to say, "Oh, this probably happened." They're cops or everybody's going to associate blame, and that may be important to you. But I will automatically think to myself, "What was the normal path of potential occurrence?" Like when you think about something, right? Like, okay, here's a person that wants to bring a cake on an airplane. You and I both agree, just from the beginning of the story, that's not a good idea. You know, these people aren't really, you know, maybe they're not that well traveled, and you know, who hasn't been inexperienced in a situation in the past? You know, like, you know, those people that come to the airport for the first time where they don't know, you know, they don't have to stand there in front of the gate 30 minutes before the flight takes off, you know, that kind of stuff. You kind of, hopefully they're going to go through the process of learning. But, you know, okay, so they couldn't bring, now they get, okay, you can't put it in the overhead bin. You have to put it under the seat.
Right.
You know, and a sheet cake under the seat, that thing could slot. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. Any rate, it's not a good idea. And then here's the thing. They probably were taking the cake and picking it up. They were probably taking, you know, picking it up and not leaving it down there, and they're probably, you know, who knows. So one person got all busy and, you know, wanted to find out what was going on. But hey, let it be a lesson that you can't take cake.
Don't take on a plane. Cake on a plane.
You go on to Vegas. There's plenty of bakeries in fucking Vegas. I couldn't imagine how good that cake is to have it. Go. You're flying from New York
to Vegas.
Like, no. It's a 5-hour flight, isn't it?
And it was, yeah. And it was just for a birthday.
Yeah.
It wasn't a wedding cake.
It's a 40th. Right. Oh, could you imagine? You got a level of wedding cake. And you bring it on a plane. That would be a nice prank. Walk on a plane with a fucking wedding. I got to get the wedding cake to the wedding.
Oh, man.
Right? And you have to buy a seat for it.
Marzipan everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Here's a story. A woman attacked by a camel at Jefferson Davis last home. Jefferson Davis,
the guy whose statue they just pulled down.
No, isn't that? I was going to pull that story up, by the way, about Robert E. Lee.
They pulled his statue down.
Well, they want to take it down, and a lot of white supremacists and, you know, let's whatever the, you know, severe went out there with torches and shit. And you know what? Here, listen, I'm a New York Yankee. You know what I mean? I'm Hispanic by blood and stuff like that, and I just. You know, you can say whatever you want about the Civil War, but the Civil War was fought amongst Americans,
right?
And those Americans still live here, in a sense. Their ancestors still live here. Many people died in that war. It is part of our history. It's part of one of the greatest learning experience. One of the most documented fights or battles for freedom, right, or to maintain the country, whatever that we've been through. To sit there and to appease something by saying we're going to take down something, to me, is bullshit.
Absolutely.
You know, if you find that it has that to do with it, don't go visit it. You know what I mean? But if you start taking something away, you know, if you want to, here's the thing: it's hard to get equality in things when somebody wants to add more, and then you expect other people to be taken away from. It's not a good. To me. there's got to be a better way to try to make racial divide in this country work a little better than try to appease some people because there's a Robert E. Lee fucking statue that's been out there for fucking hundreds of years that nobody seemed to give a fuck about. I can't imagine,
until
you know,
last week.
If anybody tells me that any young man was, you know, the reason I'm a fuck up or whatever, I didn't go anywhere in my life is because of that Robert E. Lee statue. Okay, if that's really a deal, then I'll buy it. No, but this is in Biloxi, Mississippi, a Florida woman's claims a camel at the last home of Confederate President Jefferson Davis attacked her at the Mississippi tourist attraction back in 2015. She's suing the United Sons of Confederate Veterans, identified as the operator of the Beauvoir Plantation in Biloxi. Reports say Sylvia June Abbott says Sir Camelot injured her mentally and physically, her attorney says Charles M. Thomas. Her husband were walking to a cemetery behind the Beauvoir and when the camel stampeded her and bit her, leaving her with a fractured wrist and vertebrae.
Well, where the hell did he bite her? What? How did you get your vertebrae hurt?
Listen, I've never walked by many camels, but I didn't know them to be that violent. You don't think she was antagonizing the camel?
They just spit on you.
Yeah, that would be the worst, right? What the... You know, maybe that's what happened. Maybe he spit on her,
then
she got mad, like, what the...
Oh.
And then, you know, she went over and smacked the camel somehow or said, you know, talk some shit to it. And the camel said, I ain't got time for this.
Just pull one of those Aussie videos where the guy hit the kangaroo, hit the camel. Camels don't play. Sir Camel? What? Yeah. Sir Camelot?
Sir Camelot. That's the camel. That's a cool name. Behaviors, let's see, Abbott Soup says, Beauvoir's operators should have known the camel had behaved dangerously. Yeah, because everybody knows the actions of an animal. In the past, though, it didn't specify any prior incidents.
He didn't have a record.
No. Maybe he just lost it one day.
Clean camel.
Tom Payne didn't immediately respond to messages seeking the comment, but that's all we have on the story.
I picture that one of the Democratic press questions to Spicer.
Yeah.
What do you think the camel was thinking when it bit that tourist?
I love the questions. I was watching that today when they ask questions and they ask again and they ask again. It's like, you know, it's just becoming comical. Although I did like Huckleberry. You love Huckabee's daughter.
Did really good.
She was impressive, man.
It was her first time. She didn't know what to expect. So she could like bob and weave all of it.
Yeah, she handled it really.
Spicer's on like 90 days in a row going, are you really going to ask me what he's thinking? Am I a psychiatrist? What are you talking about?
Can you tell
about?
Us what Donald Trump is thinking when he hears the story?
What am I, a shrink? I don't know what he's thinking.
Yeah. Okay, here's a funny story. Undercover agents find registered church to be a sex club. My husband's been spending a lot of time at church lately.
Wow. They usually just play bingo.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way to get people to go to church.
Sex clubs?
Nashville, Tennessee, undercover inspectors have determined that a building registered as a church was being operated as a sex club.
Tax-free sex club?
That the city of Nashville... has filed a complaint against the owners of the for maintaining a public nuisance by permitting acts of lewd conduct and violating state law banned sex clubs from the operating within 1,000 feet of a school. The longtime downtown swingers club underwent a conversion back in 2015 when it relocated to a rundown office park in the community of Madison, calling itself a church because the new location is near the back of the private Good Pasture Christian School. Two code inspectors paid $40 to enter the facility in March and filed affidavits detailing sex acts as they witnessed within. Those inspectors went back 14 times after.
And the only reason they paid that time was because their membership was expired.
Right.
They had to re-up.
Yeah, think about that. Like, I joke about like. You know, these Broward Sheriff officers, I have friends that are BSO officers, and you hear about when they get the details to the bust these Asian massage parlors,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And nowadays, they have to go through the act. You can't just like, oh, you grabbed it, you're arrested. They finish, they do it.
They have to go all the way, huh?
Yeah, and they're okay to do it, and that's how they prove. It's not like, oh, I would have, I could have. They got to go through it. So can you imagine all the poor married guys like, I want that detail.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing it for the sake of my job. Imagine coming home as a cop trying to explain that to your honey.
That's part of your bonus.
The chief really believes in me. Yeah. You know, he's I think I'm moving up the scale. I'm trying to be captain. You know, I'm trying to be a captain.
You know, I always wanted to do a detail, right?
Right. I wanted to go undercover so long, honey. Yeah, yeah. Well, here's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be going in and acting as a guy with a back issue, and I'm going to go into an Asian massage parlor and get massaged and see if they offer me sex. Now, hold on, I'm not done. if they go through with it, I got to go through with it because part of the evidence is, you know, I got to have a stain on my chest. So,
and the thing is, if we both climax, it was premeditated.
Right.
If only me, then we know that she's been doing this for a while.
Right.
This is
exactly.
Wouldn't work too well. Would not work.
Right. Good detail work. Speaking of that. Why don't we stay on the sexy side of the news? Topless cleaning service owner arrested for underwear theft.
You really can't make this stuff up.
Now, I remember when I was in like high school and college, I remember tricks like women would play because if they thought you were having, you know, which they thought, right probably, but, you know, that you were messing around, like they would leave their underwear in places.
Right. Just,
like, you know what I mean? Like in your pillow. Right, or they leave it in the sheets. So next thing you know, a girl gets in there. Says, these aren't mine.
Yeah,
they're not. They're mine. <Damn. laughs> I wear them on Thursdays. Topless cleaning service owner arrested for underwear theft, Bangor, Maine. That's a good name for a sex store in Bangor.
Perfect.
In a misstep that would seem to run counter to her business model, a woman who offers a semi-nude cleaning service was arrested for stealing underwear. Now, I've seen this before where a woman comes to your house and, you know, basically takes off her top. Player, get down. And walk around the house, cleaning the house and stuff. And, yeah, right. But that may get you, I mean, you know, think about it. Like, okay, I mean, it's, okay, you're getting your house cleaned.
Okay.
Right? So that's important. But, you know, how much more am I paying to just see some girl, you know, cleaning with her titties hanging out, probably.
$100 more, at least.
About $100, right? And, you know, so, you know, at least if I had a cleaning lady, I leave the house. I find other things to do. You know, so for $50, okay, you got to get...
These services are not for normal people who get their houses cleaned.
Police in Bangor, Maine say the woman is the owner of operator of a business called Topless Cleaning. She was caught shoplifting undergarments from a local business. Bangor Police Sergeant Tim Cotton left a lengthy, humorous post about the arrest on the police department's Facebook page. Yeah, because he's a kidder. He says the woman had stolen garments that would fully cover, support, and contain much of what her business title promises her customers. Cotton also says potential patrons should keep their hands to themselves, leave other things alone, and be kind to one another. Well, who the fuck are you to tell us what to do there, Captain? You know, get a girl. And what do you think? She's shifty? You think that maybe she does that? And if somebody throws out a $100 bill, she, you know, gets more naked?
I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure that more money.
Everybody has a number. Everybody has a price. Just
right.
Saying.
Ted DiBiase, $1 million man. Everybody has their price.
Here's a story. Again, why don't we stay on the naked and we have a theme.
I love
today.
Our sexy.
You can tell I've been away from my wife for a while when I come and check the stories and they're all naked and sex stories.
The episode she's not here. We talk about sex the whole time.
Half naked driver crashes car into store to get beer.
Huh.
I have a plan. My plan does not consist of a shirt or any type of real using of my brain.
No brains.
Rocky River, Ohio, police in a suburban Cleveland. In suburban Cleveland, say a half-naked man intentionally crashed his car into a closed convenience store to get beer.
Wow.
Injuring himself and a store employee. Rocky River police say the 45-year-old driver was wearing nothing from the waist down when he crashed through a store while early Sunday and told the worker he needed beer.
Talk about showing two forms of ID.
Yeah. I'm hoping if I go to the store drunk, I won't have to get out of the car.
Sure.
You don't have a drive-thru in the 7-Eleven?
I can't tell if that's the guy. Up, there's his dick. That's him.
Yeah.
That's him.
I recognize that.
That's him.
And then these guys go in the lineup. They got pull your pants. What? I agree to do the lineup. I don't want to agree to take my pants off. I thought, the guy was naked, so we want to make sure. Yeah. Police say the man barricaded himself in a beer cooler and told police to shoot him, but they subdued him with a stun device.
Ooh.
The driver was taken to the hospital, as was the store employee who suffered leg and chest injuries. That's kind of serious.
Wasn't it closed, though? What was he doing?
Well, he's probably,
stocking.
Yeah, he's, probably counting the lotto tickets. The driver has been charged with impaired driving. Police say the worker was fortunate. The deli counter was between him and the car. Yeah. And good thing the deli knife wasn't sitting there pointing in the wrong direction.
Flying across the room.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Too funny.
Our last story of the day. I'm going to bring it back to religion. We talked a little bit about religion, right? We talked about Ezekiel and the Bible.
Revelation.
And all that. And
the beast.
I'm a God-fearing man. I don't know about you, but I basically live my day as a God-fearing man where I'm going to be judged ultimately in the forever playground that will be the ever after. And if it doesn't exist, who can, it wasn't there anyway. Right? Exactly. If there was no show, right, whether I'm late or not, doesn't matter. Just saying. What the hell is going on? This is interesting. Very interesting. Hold on. One of those times you pull the thing up and it doesn't come up.
Nice. Buffer. Listen, what I believe, as long as it doesn't affect you physically or hurt you some way, shouldn't bother you. Right? Being a God-fearing man.
Well, that's the thing. I'm trying. Being a God-fearing man basically says that, I'm gonna try to be fair and I'm gonna do certain things, right? Pastor attempting to walk on water to show his pastors how Jesus did it. Dies by getting eaten by. Now we had the girl, the 11-year-old girl. Remember that we had 11-year-old girl. Last week that fought off an alligator by sticking her fingers in its nose.
Right.
And screaming like crazy and it let her go.
Right.
I mean, this girl is fucking amazing.
Unbelievable.
This guy, a pastor.
Talking about Jesus, doing everything Jesus did, literally.
Well, I could tell you what Jesus wouldn't do. He wouldn't stick his fingers in the alligator's nose. Members at a church in Zimbabwe recently witnessed the gruesome death of their pastor. Local newspapers report he was mauled by three alligators after they asked for a collection plate. After he attempted to walk across what is locally known as Crocodile River.
Oh, my God.
Oh, this guy's like the evil Knievel of Zimbabwe.
Are you seriously telling me he walked on the backs of the crocodile like in the cartoons?
And it's like James Bond when he runs across the pool of alligator. Jonathan Mithawa, pastor of the Satan of the Last Days Church, and it was his. Was allegedly trying to show his congregation how Jesus walked on water. When he got about 90 feet into the river, he was attacked by three alligators and killed him within minutes.
Jeez.
He promised he would demonstrate his faith to us today, but he unfortunately ended up drowning and getting eaten by those three large alligators, said Deacon Nkosi. We still don't understand how this happened because he fasted and prayed the whole week. They finish, unfortunately... So did the alligators, and they were fucking hungry.
Wow.
See? I guess it's time to find a new pastor.
Different religions. Always dangerous.
Right? Listen, just be thankful when you go to church. You just have to, sit down, kneel, stand up. That's all you got to do.
That's just saying that church attendance has been really shoddy lately.
Yeah. You got to step it up now.
If you're going to go ahead and do the crocodile walk across the back thing to show how Jesus walked on water.
Yeah. Boy, it's getting hard to convert people.
Your message has really been lost.
Well, this is that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I want to thank Ciro Doberg for joining us today.
Thank you, Dougie.
And, of course, I'm Dougie Almeida. You can follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. You can follow our join our fan page on Facebook at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. You can follow me on Instagram and on Twitter at Dougie Dangerous. Don't forget, Wednesday night, Tavolino's Wise Guys Comedy Show. John McClain is the headliner, and Chris Topher is our featured. I'm your opening act, or the MC, as you would. Also, I'm going to be at Claremont, Florida, this Friday night at the Claremont Performing Arts Center. Show is about 8:30. Go to Claremont PAC to get tickets. How about you?
Nice. May 27th, I'm going to be up in Sebring, Florida for a benefit for Comedy for a Cure, Southwest Florida. Damian Seaman and guys for Eddie, I want to say Crockett. Eddie right. Crockett. Very nice. Always Mondays tonight, I got my show at the 19th Hole. Check me out on Twitter and Instagram at Zero Comic.
That's there you it. Go. Thanks for listening, guys. Tomorrow in the studio, Peter Leonard and Elgin David back. With that fun store. How do you like that? Don't forget to follow us. Go to our website, wakeuplatewithdougieshow.podbean.com. We got shows going back all the way to 2013. Also, donate to the show. We have a patron page. You can click on the right. Donate as minimum of a dollar. We have two people now donating a dollar a month, which is funny because after the cut, it comes out to like 52 cents when it comes out of the system. But and also our great listener, Lindsay Glazer, comedian, she donates $10. Can you imagine $10 a month to the show?
Actually, I'm going to actually do her show too at the end of the month.
Well, that's right. We got that coming up. I think you're on that show, the Wine and Wit show in Wilton Manor. So we'll tell you about it next week. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. And tomorrow we'll be here right here at the same spot. Take care.
In the colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. The beam of light hit the ground. Everyone felt the sound of their heartbeat. Every man, every woman, every child. Yes, the limits of imagination. To the door, to the world of another time. And on the journey of a thousand lifetimes.